Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. How are you, Randy?
What's happening, man? We made it to the week. Well, we got 4 hours to the week.
We got 4 hours to the weekend, and then it's the weekend. Now, technically, you got to work tomorrow.
But
like
see,
a double shift.
You know what? This for some reason Saturday in the fall is expected. So I'm not
sure.
But like Saturday during the summertime is different.
Well, plus at some point tonight through tomorrow, I don't know when it happens when you make the transition, but you go from being just regular old Randy McMichael to Get the Loot Randy.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get
on
that.
On Saturday, you turn into Get the Loot Randy.
Yeah.
What time does that, is it in your sleep that that happens?
It's usually when I arrive at the spot, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's about it, though. But, yeah, it's going to be a great, well, the weather's going to be terrible this weekend. But at the same time, we got a big game from United. Georgia's got a good game. Army's here in town to play Georgia State. So it's some great things going on, man. I got some quick real, we talk about Freddie Freeman all this time and everything in the elbow. It says, according to Jeff Schultz, he underwent arthroscopic surgery on his right elbow Wednesday in New York. They cleaned out the right elbow joint, removing three fragment loose bodies and multiple bone spurs formations that had developed.
Oh, weird.
But he should be ready by spring training.
It wasn't the elbow that was affecting him in the playoffs, though, right? It wasn't that elbow that he just got surgery on today?
Yeah.
Okay, it was. We knew that it was. No reason to be sarcastic about it. It's frustrating that it was. And now the team that you didn't want to see in the World Series is in the World Series, and that's the Washington Nationals. It looks like they're probably going to play the Astros because the Astros handled business against the Yankees last night. They're up 3-1. We'll get to all of that as the show goes along. You mentioned it. It's a big weekend here. Of course, Atlanta United's got a playoff game tomorrow as well. Mike Conte will join us in studio, Randy, coming up at 10:40. And help get us ready for that game tomorrow. He will obviously be there on the call here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And there's some frustration going into that game. I mean, the more we learn about what is going on with Miles Robinson, how it went down with Miles Robinson, and we'll hear from Frank DeBoer coming up in about 20 minutes, where he says that, yeah, well, we actually asked the U.S. national team to go easy on him before we sent him there, and they didn't. So for him to come back injured from that situation, it's frustrating no matter what. It's frustrating if Miles Robinson plays in the game and gets injured. It's more frustrating the way that it happened and all of the context that we have now. So we'll get into that and what's trending. Ask Mike Conte about that a little bit. But the bottom line is this, Randy. You still got to go out there and win.
Absolutely.
They're not going to cancel the game tomorrow because Miles Robinson isn't playing.
Yeah, but Miles.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But you got to go win the game anyway, though. Right?
You guys still got to play. I mean, I still think they will win. I know that the new playoff format makes it a little bit more tricky if something does happen. But at the same time, you're the better team, and you're going to get to see that tomorrow. You got all your horses except for Miles Robinson, and it just seems like that's what we've been saying about Atlanta United all year. We got these guys, but this guy's out and this guy's out. But I mean, your best defender is out for this match. Hopefully, this is the only one he'll miss, and you know, just go out there and play your game. I mean, there are going to be a lot of shots on goal.
Yes. It's going to be one of...
I think, according to the last game,
yeah.
there should be a lot of shots on goal.
It feels like there's going to be a lot of offense in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this weekend between the Atlanta United playoff matchup and then the Falcons and Rams, which I think you and I both agree, and I know we'll get to our keys to the game for that game coming up a little bit later in our Lunchtime Falcons Report, as we always do on Fridays at 12:20. But just based on our conversation with Dave Archer on Wednesday, some of what we were talking about with Wes Durham yesterday, and everything that we've realized about what this Falcons team is right now and about what this Falcons defense does to opposing offenses, the way that the Falcons are going to try to win this game on Sunday, or at least the most likely way that they would win this game on Sunday to me, seems like they're going to have to score a lot of points.
Yes, sir.
Not just the obvious outscore your opponent. Like, in a shootout against an offense that has been struggling, like, I think the Falcons have to score like 38 points on Sunday to win this game.
I can't tell you that you're wrong on that one, Andy. And the thing with the Falcons have to do is that you got Todd Gurley coming back off of a week off and coming off probably his best performance of the year, which wasn't outstanding, but it's the best. You can see that they're trying to work him back into the game gradually. And we'll get into our keys of the game, and he's in that part for me. But, no, this team has got to outscore people because right now the defense doesn't seem like they want to get a stop. Trufant, I don't know what his situation is going to be with that turf toe.
Hasn't practiced.
Hasn't practiced all week. That's not a good sign. If he doesn't go today, then you're looking at Jamon Brown. Where's his status? Because if Wes White's there, nigga, it's 99. Oh, hell. You know, so, I mean, that's just the reality of where this team is. But it all boils down to just get a win. I think they can win this football game. But, I mean, if they go out there and continue to play the way they're playing defensively, they're not going to win. As long as Matt Ryan doesn't turn the ball over tomorrow, they'll be in the game for the most part.
Yes, I agree with that. And, again, you're putting a lot of pressure on the offense, Matt Ryan specifically, to be perfect. But, unfortunately, that's where you are right now because you're not getting anything from the defense. I've got some numbers regarding this defense that, I mean, I don't know. I guess you know how bad they are, but there's numbers that really illuminate quite how bad they are right now. And what's interesting about this matchup between the Rams is you've played the Rams a handful of times over the last few years. And, I mean, similar Rams. I mean, Jared Goff has been there, and obviously Matt Ryan has been with the Falcons, and Dan Quinn was the coach of the Falcons. I don't know that anything feels as far away than some of what we can think back to from the first time that Matt Ryan and Jared Goff played against each other. And I think a lot of times when you go back and think about that Falcons team, the thing that you think about is the offense. Now, we want the offense to be able to score a whole bunch of points this weekend, of course, but when people reminisce or are frustrated about what the Falcons are now, the thing that everyone goes back to is, oh, Kyle Shanahan and how many points you could score in 16 and everything that was happening in 16. That's not really what I reminisce and am frustrated about. And as far away as that offense feels, and especially over the last 2 years felt when Steve Sarkisian was here, I don't think anything feels further away than the highlight that we're about to play you. Like, it's almost impossible to believe that this happened less than 3 years ago, given what this guy has looked like over the last couple of seasons. Let's get in the DeLorean. Let's take a trip back in time. You ready?
Goff will get in the gun quickly. Rams trying to go no huddle here. Goff dropping back. Beasley hit him. Ball's loose. Vic picked it up. 10-5 touchdown.
It's the big kahuna.
Vic Beasley, a sack, a strip, a recovery, and a score. And yes, the big kahuna.
Does anything feel further away than Vic Beasley being that person?
Yeah.
Like, that was less than 3 years ago.
See, that's my thing when people always want to keep going back to the Super Bowl year. He ain't that dude no more.
I know that.
But this team isn't that team. And everybody's like, we were just in it. Well, you know what? That was a long damn time ago.
You're right.
It's been a long time.
NFL years, dog years are 7 years,
yes,
right? What's an NFL year?
10, 15? At least. Right. I mean, that was a long damn time ago. We can't keep hanging. That's why I keep up. Well, he won a Super Bowl. They went to a Super Bowl. That's a long time ago. All right, and you don't have any more mulligans for that. You know, it was a long damn time ago. You're a different team. Pretty much your core is still the same, but at the same time, you're not playing well. And that dude, he's just not that guy. All right, I still think that was a legit season because you can't dumb your way, like my man Chuckery says, a 15 and a half sacks in this league. I'm sorry, you can't.
I know you can't.
All right, he had a great year.
He did.
He had a great year. Yeah.
But that's what's so confusing about it. We'll get back to that in just a minute. We've got some money to give away before we do any of that. You want $1,000?
Let's get some loot.
All right.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
taco. The word this hour is taco. You have until 10:59 to text the word taco to 72881. That's 72881. Message and data rates apply. Please do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, the 10 o'clock hour word is taco.
Always reminds me of the biggest mistake that the Atlanta Hawks ever made, not drafting Taco Fall.
Yeah.
Could have had Taco Fall in College Park, and he would have been the attraction. Unfortunately, they didn't do it. Back to the Falcons. And look, I'm with you. And there's really no healthy point in continuing to do that to ourselves because – you're right about that. The NFL is not, it's just not the way that it works. You can't say that was only 3 years ago. It's only three seasons ago. You should still be doing this, even though it's basically the same people. And that's what is infuriating about it. Like, this defensive core is the same defensive core. I mean, Dwight Freeney was a part of that defense, but Dwight Freeney was, I mean, it was it. It was over. Like, Dwight Freeney was helpful on that defense, I think more as a mentor than anything else, than the player on the field. And there's a couple of other guys here and there. But by and large, it's all the same dudes. They're just older, but not old. Like, they're in their primes now, theoretically. All those guys were first and second year players back then. Now they've been with Dan Quinn for a good long time. So that's why, in my opinion, the expectation was what it was this season, because you had that familiarity and you had Dan Quinn taking over the defense. And of course, you knew that his back was against the wall anyway, like supposing to fix this thing and get it right this year and make a run. So you're right, Randy. I mean, 3 years ago is ages in the NFL. But even more than that, like that Vic Beasley memory, and he's not that guy. Yeah. We know that. He's not that guy anymore. It's crazy to think that he was, though. Like, it's crazy to me that at any point in his, given what we've seen from him the last two seasons and six games, that at any point in his life he was capable of that. Because that game back in 2016 against the Rams, he had three sacks and two forced fumbles and a touchdown. He's not going to do all of that in this entire season combined. And we're not talking about a guy who's 36 now. He's in his fifth year in the NFL. Like, he's in his physical prime.
Yep.
I don't know how to explain it, honestly.
Nobody does.
I really don't.
Nobody does.
There is no historical precedent for what Vic Beasley has done. No player ever in football history and NFL history has had 15 and a half sacks and then never recorded a double-digit sack season again.
Yep.
And Vic Beasley looks poised to do that. So, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, except for I hope this is the weekend where he figures it out. Because if him and Tack McKinley don't, it's not like you're bringing in anybody else. There is no other reinforcements coming.
Mm-mm.
If those guys don't figure out a way to get into the backfield, you're going to see the Falcons give up all these points every single weekend.
But I'm tired of us just dumping on Vic. That's obvious. Tack need to play better,
sure,
too. All right, nobody want to hear your noise and your Twitter and all that crap, man. Go play the game. And I said this from the beginning of the season. Man, nobody don't care about your hair. Go play football, man. I mean, that's the thing about it. You worried about everything else but your damn job. All right? I'm not gonna let 98 off the hook no more. Cause it's always all on Vic. Tack was first round pick.
Yes, he was.
He was first round pick. He was supposed to bring pressure. No, both of those dudes need to get their blank together.
And if we're being honest from a stat standpoint, Vic's had a better year than Tack has. He's got a sack and a half. Tack's got half a sack. And that's also the last time the Falcons got a sack, was when those two guys met in the backfield, got to Jacoby Brissett, got him on the ground, and shared a sack. That was 242 defensive snaps ago. 242. It's a long time, Randy. It's a really long time to go without getting a sack.
And y'all are the primary pass rushers. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are on the field a lot. Yeah. We'll come back and get to what's trending, including looking ahead to Atlanta United's game tomorrow and Frank DeBoer is saying here.
You know, we especially said, okay, just take it easy with him. And
yeah, we know who he's talking about. The fact that that's true makes it even more frustrating. What's trending coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Maybe also would have get it, you know, maybe in our game. But, you know, we especially said, okay, just take it easy with him. And, yeah, they didn't do it. To miss an opportunity for me to make a choice to put him in the team is gone. I don't know if he can play the second, third, if he go through. So we have to have a good conversation with like adults and say, okay, yeah, if we say this, yeah, you have to respect that.
Yeah, so that's Frank DeBoer yesterday talking about how he specifically asked the U.S. national team to take it easy on Miles Robinson while he was with them for those two games because, you know, Miles Robinson is an Atlanta United player and a pretty important part of Atlanta United's team and playoff hopes. I guess he came in third in the Defensive Player of the Year voting, which I don't really understand, but that's neither here nor there. What I do know for sure is that he played the sixth most minutes in MLS this season. The sixth most. Only five guys played more time than Miles Robinson did this season, which to me, Randy, and correct me if I'm wrong, would probably mean he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think it would. But again, it's an unfortunate thing. Yeah, it irritates me.
It
sucks that Miles can't play and that he got hurt doing the one thing that every time these guys go away and we have Jason or Mike on, that's the first thing to come out of my mouth, please just don't get hurt. And Miles got hurt, and it's a big loss for us. But at the same time, not really overly concerned about it. as far as like they can't win without him. They can win. They can win this match without Miles. They can. Now, if you see, you know, LGP and them dudes getting worked over, then you're going to like, damn, Miles should have been there. But they're going to work over with Miles there, too, now.
Yeah,
so,
but Miles comes, but
Miles
up,
comes
and
up and saves him.
You're right. I think LGP needs to have a great game tomorrow because he's one of those guys that will just – he'll be so good and so solid and make the right play, but then make one of those ridiculous, like, heat-of-the-moment decisions. Get a card on a silly play or overcommit on a tackle or something and let his guy go way by him. Like, LGP has to be very good tomorrow. And I don't, not conservative, but just like smart. He just has to play he can't do any of that crazy LGP stuff that he does sometimes.
But think about it, he can't help it.
He's got to help
it. But every time we say this about LGP, he can never help it. But I mean, again.
Take a breath.
Woosah.
Get your hair bleached early or something, whatever you're going to do.
Woosah. But as long as we got that dude number seven, I ain't worried about too much.
Yeah.
Right, we got that guy. Gressel's been playing well. Barco's going to be fine. So, Pete, I mean, we got our stable of our dudes.
Are you convinced that those three guys are all going to start tomorrow?
No.
That neither am I.
No.
Because you heard another thing that Frank DeBoer said yesterday was, we might not necessarily start all of our best players. We're going to start our best team. That's the goal in a playoff matchup.
You know what that sounds like to me? Like somebody did something. Like somebody missed some curfew or something. All three of them dudes need to start. All right. They're your three best offensive players.
I don't know how much validity to give this. Probably, I don't know, whatever. It's out there. People have talked about it. There was like a team dinner or something the other night.
Right.
And everybody was there pretty much except for the guys that were away on international duty.
Uh-huh.
And no Pity.
Well, Pity might have had something to do.
Maybe he did.
Yeah,
maybe he did. I have no idea if it means anything.
And I saw that picture.
You know, Smoke and Joe Patrick started that rumor.
I know Smoke and Joe started
Smoke
that
and
rumor.
Joe Patrick.
Just come on, Joe. I'll see you tomorrow. But yeah, he up there trying to start some static. Pity might have had something to do.
It happens. And maybe Pity just doesn't like to do stuff like that.
Exactly.
That's all right.
You know I wonder. I was going to say I'm talking
to a guy now that doesn't like to do stuff like that.
Hey, fellas, I don't feel like it. It happens. I don't want to go.
Right. That has nothing to do with what's going to happen in the game tomorrow.
Those starting stuff.
But I wouldn't be surprised if the lineup does not include, at least the starting lineup does not include all three of those guys.
I would be very. No, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, you'll see them at some point tomorrow.
But that's goes back to the poll question. Hey, I trust you, Frank. I trust you, Frank.
But there you go. If you don't start all three of those guys and you lose, then how much are people going to trust
Frank?
It's
going to be ugly.
Yeah, like,
because
here's the thing. Like, Frank DeBoer has been put into such a tough situation because he has to get creative tomorrow because Miles Robinson is going to be available to play.
Right.
And no matter what he does, if it doesn't work, people are going to, just like we talked about yesterday with, like, the difference between cute and creative for offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
It's only cute if it doesn't work.
Right.
If Frank DeBoer nails it tomorrow and they win the lineup, everyone's like, oh, he's a genius. He came up with this brilliant tactic.
Way to go, Frank.
If it doesn't work, people are going to be mad at him. See, because here's the thing for me about Frank DeBoer. As much as he won that poll question we did the other day,
right,
I think he won that poll question we did the other day by default because there's no trust in the other coaches right now in this city.
Because they were away. It was fresh.
Right, they had gone away for a while. And
we
did the poll question the day after Georgia lost, and the Falcons are a disaster right now. That's why that's happening. Frank DeBoer has equity, but not that much equity. Like, if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, people are going to jump the Frank DeBoer ship.
People just wanted to fire him a couple months ago.
It's true.
Come on, man.
My thing is just to be ready for anything. We don't know how they're going to play us. We don't know if he's going to match me or not and things like that. I haven't played him, but I haven't thought that far past that. It's just more so about, you know, us just getting ready to go out there and just make plays and whatever they give us, you know, we just got to take it and you know, be successful.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how the Rams decide to use Jalen Ramsey on Sunday. I'm of the opinion that he's going to play.
I think so.
They haven't committed 100% to that yet, but he's at practice today. His back miraculously has been fixed.
He looked good in them drills, how he was spinning around and coming out to break.
Well, you know, it's just rest, I think. Rest in the climate.
That's Southern Cal weather, man.
They got him a massage, maybe something like that. It's that dry air. His back's better now, and that's what matters. It'll be interesting to see if they match him up on Julio. If they just put him on Julio all game, if they decide to do that, if the Falcons will attack that, the fact that he hasn't played in a month, or the Falcons will go away from that and try to do something else. It's going to be a little bit of a chess match on Sunday between the Falcons offense and the Rams defense because the Rams defense has great pieces. I don't know that they're a great defense.
They're not a great defense.
But they've got great pieces.
Yes, they do.
And Aaron Donald can change an entire game in 1 second. Jalen Ramsey's one of those types of guys, too. I don't know exactly what the Falcons are going to do to try to beat them, but what I do know that they've done in the past is move Matt Ryan a little bit, move that pocket a little bit to make it harder for Aaron Donald to get to him and get the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands quickly.
You got to do that.
Yeah. This is, I think, his best completion percentage season. I know it's only through six games, but the best his completion percentage has ever been. A lot of that has to do with some of that quick passing game that they've been using.
That's the main issue right there. You got to get the ball out of your hands, and you got to find a way. If you can't stop him, just slow him down just a little bit. You got to slow him down a little bit, and we're going to talk about this throughout the day. You got to get a stop. You got to get a stop when you need to stop, Andy. You got to get you got to make something happen if you're on the Falcons defense.
Can I give you just a sneak peek into one of my keys to the game? It's not even really a stop. I just need the defense to do two things.
What's that?
Just two things throughout the game.
Oh.
Like an interception at some point, or a sack at some point, or a fumble recovery at some point. Like I'm beyond counting on them to do the basic stuff that you're supposed to do, you know, like get a stop or tackle guys or communicate correctly. I just need it. 2 points in the game. Any 2 points. It can happen whenever they want. First quarter, fourth quarter, whatever. Both of them can come in the third quarter. I don't care. We just need the defense to do two things that change the game. Whatever those things may be, just do them. And I think the Falcons offense can do enough to win.
Just attack, you know, just go at it, you know. Sharks, you know, they always going forward, you know. They always fighting forward, man. And, you know, even when bad things come, it's like you can sit and you can try to dwell on the past, man. It does nothing. It does nothing for now. And you know you don't want to keep hearing that, but, like, it's the truth about life is you got to move forward and you got to try to take the positivities out of things. And you got to just keep attacking, man, and just keep going. And hopefully you fight your way through it and bite your way through it like a shark.
Ricardo Allen with a lot of shark analogies there, which is good because the Falcons have – there's nothing to be gained by, like, I guess, focusing on the past.
No.
You can try to learn.
Oh, no, you learn from it. You don't focus
learn from
on it.
It.
Don't focus on it.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you're destined to repeat yourself.
Correct.
The problem is they've been repeating themselves, and they haven't been learning. Although maybe they have been learning, and they're incapable of learning. I don't know. I like Ricardo Allen's message there. I think we've just kind of gotten to the point of the season where the question mark we have is,
nobody wanna hear
are
that,
they
man.
Capable
yeah,
of
nobody,
it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nobody want to hear it anymore, man. And then, you know how we feel about Ricardo. Think he's, you know, we know he's a
love
great
Ricardo
dude.
Allen.
No, he's a great dude. And there's just so much going on right now because you got so many different moving parts in that back end. You're going to have three young guys out there playing against these four experienced receiver tight end combo of the Los Angeles Rams. And you got to step up. You got to hold up, man. You know, Isaiah Oliver. I mean, if True does play, he's still going to play. But, I mean, you're still going to have your starting role. You got to go up and show up and show out. You sound confident. I just want your game to reflect that confidence that you sound like.
Do you know how many passing yards Jared Goff had last week?
78.
That's correct. On 13 completions.
78.
How long is it going to take for Jared Goff to get to 78 passing yards on Sunday?
I don't know. Don't know.
If you had to guess.
Maybe a drive or two?
No. It's going to take the whole game. The Falcon, no, I'm with you. Yeah, it's probably going to be something like that.
They've got a major matchup factor on the outside and a really big wide out. They've got tight ends that run pop passes when you play certain coverages. And they've been one of the best rushing teams in our league for a while because of Benny Snell. And now they're finding other ways to use it.
Seems weird to say a game against Kentucky at home is big, but it feels like a big game for Georgia given what happened last week against South Carolina. You got to get back to being Georgia this week.
Yeah,
and that means win by 25 points or more.
They're going to win this game pretty handily, I think. You know, they got some matchup issues with
the spread specifically.
With the mobile quarterback and everything. But, yeah, we'll be all right. We're going to be fine.
But who cares about spreads? But, you know what I mean?
I know I don't. But I know what I know. Some people do care about.
I do.
The 2019 Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Get the most games right each week for your shot to win $1,000 for the best for the entire season, and you can win a trip to Miami for the big game weekend and $5,000. Get signed up today on the contest page at 9200game.com.
Coming up next, we try to get a little bit more insight into how Atlanta United deals with the loss of Miles Robinson. Mike Conti joins us, the radio play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, right after this on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday, 20 minutes away from an NFL no-huddle. Haven't had a chance to talk about the unfortunate news of last night's game yet. Man, you hate to see that.
Yeah, man.
Hate to see anybody get hurt. Patrick Mahomes goes down last night. There's some updates this morning about his injury status and how long it may be. So we'll get to that coming up in 20 minutes. Get back into the Falcons matchup against the Rams as well. But big weekend. We're looking forward to a lot of different things, including, of course, an Atlanta United playoff game right here in Atlanta tomorrow. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Conte will be there, of course. Mike Conte with us now. Mike, how are you?
I am so nervous about this game. I've already advised my wife, don't even bother preparing a second dessert tonight. I think I'm only going to be able to do one.
What are you nervous about?
That's when you know it's bad.
What am I nervous about?
Yeah.
You're going into a 90-minute knockout game where okay. one bad bounce, your season could be over, and
true.
You're without arguably your best player. It's scary. I think Atlanta United should be able to take care of business. I mean, it's the saying I always say, if you're afraid, get a dog. Well, I own two, and I'm still afraid.
Right.
But that's just it's more so about the format than who Atlanta United's playing.
Right.
Because in a knockout sure. situation like this, when you aren't playing legs, you know, New England could come in here. I don't think they will, but they could come in here. They could park the bus and slash the tires and put all 10 players behind the ball. And play for penalties, and then, you know, basically you go to a trick shot competition for a chance to advance to the playoffs. It's just there's so much that could happen tactically that could get Atlanta United out of its comfort zone and make this a tense match tomorrow. And you guys know when you get tense, you make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So on the other hand, look, Atlanta United just played these guys and beat them 3-1, and New England has never beaten Atlanta United.
Right.
And Atlanta United's at home.
Correct.
So there are a lot of things that you can check off on the Atlanta United list that should make you feel good about this match.
So who's going to fill those shoes for Miles Robinson?
Yeah. My guess is, based on what Frank DeBoer said yesterday, it's not going to be Florentine Pogba. He just got back to Atlanta, I think, yesterday. He played in Spain this week for Guinea against Chile,
right
in Spain, so
right that makes sense.
African nation, uh-huh. South American nation playing in Europe.
Yeah, make him go over there.
Anyhow, right. So I don't think it'll be him.
Right.
Jason made a good point on stoppage time on Wednesday. It's probably going to be a little safer if you stay in the 3-5-2. And again, I think safety first in a 90-minute knockout game. Right. All right. Well, if you do that, then I think you have two options. You'll probably have Leandro and Escobar absolutely as two of your three center backs. The third, your most central of three center backs, I think it would be Michael Parkhurst with Jeff Lorenowitz playing a defensive midfield role in front of him. I think you could have Jeff Lorenowitz as a center back. You could go to four in the back, and then you bring in the possibility of maybe Mikey Ambrose coming into that mix. But my guess is it's probably going to be Parkhurst with Lorenowitz in front of him. I think that's the safest. I think that gives you a lot of veteran leadership and experience, people who have been in this spot before. You don't win the MLS Cup last year without Parkhurst. He was that good. The concern then becomes, okay, those are two veteran players. What happens if you go to extra time?
Right.
And now you're playing 120 minutes, and you look at your bench, and you see, okay, you do have Pogba, you have Mo Adams, but you can't introduce Miles Robinson or really too many other defensive options. So there is some risk in that as well. Then the other question becomes, what do you do with Eric Rometty if you're going to start Jeff Lorenowitz?
Right.
So what you do in the back is going to domino all the way up to Joseph. It's really going to domino all the way up front, and that's why this is probably Frank DeBoer's most complicated selection of the year.
It's interesting. Earlier in the week, we asked a question and sort of brought all the managers and coaches in the Atlanta sports scene together and said, which one do you trust the most between DeBoer and Lloyd Pierce and all the guys? Mm-hmm. DeBoer won.
Like, absolutely.
And he should. Like, yeah. Frank DeBoer is the one who, and it's on game day as well, to make those tactical decisions or changes or adjustments or whatever to try to win games. I feel like this is one of those games tomorrow where if you're someone that trusts Frank DeBoer, you get a chance to really see why you trust him.
Well, but the other side of that is tomorrow is kind of like the MLS equivalent of Nick Saban against Urban Meyer. Like, you've got a really interesting coaching
sure.
matchup tomorrow. Because you're right, DeBoer has coached in UEFA Champions Leagues. He won a lot of titles managing Ajax and Holland. I mean, he's coached big clubs all over the place. He's had a good year with Atlanta United. Then you have the OG of American-born soccer coaches, Bruce Arena, who's coached in two World Cups, including one in which the U.S. made their best run ever mm-hmm. in 2002. He's won hundreds of MLS matches. He was an original manager in MLS. He has completely turned around New England. They're 8-3-8 with him. And that might not sound impressive. You have more non-wins than wins. yeah, those eight draws, a draw in the playoffs, got a 50-50 shot of getting you a win in penalties.
Correct.
So that's good, too. I think the tactical matchup between the managers is fascinating. And I think one of the things that might have put Atlanta United in a little bit of a disadvantage was the news about Miles Robinson coming out when it did. Because when we found out Friday night he got hurt training with the U.S. men's national team, that gave Bruce Arena a full week to figure this out. Whereas you might have been able to maybe get away with no one knowing about this if the Federation had not put that out. I'm not blaming the Federation for putting it out. I am blaming the Federation for getting him hurt.
Yeah, it's their fault.
I'm not blaming them for putting it out. You've given Bruce Arena a full week now to think about this. Really, really fascinating. And I think New England probably goes with the same game plan that they had a week ago Sunday. They had more expected goals than Atlanta United in 18 shots with Miles Robinson playing. So now you take him out, you got to wonder, boy, are they going to even be able to compound upon that? I don't know.
We were talking earlier, Mike, before you came on, about will Frank start all three of the guys? And I'm talking about Joseph, Barco, and Pitti.
Yeah, another really good question. And I think whatever he ends up doing will be overreacted to.
Okay.
In my opinion, it doesn't matter nearly as much as what he does in back. Because I think if it's Hyndman over Pitti, if it's Barco over Hyndman, if it's Pitti over Barco, I don't think it really matters. I think you're in good shape no matter what. You have more players than you have spots for right now. It's nothing more than that. That's why I think it'll be overreacted to. It all starts with what you do in back.
Right.
Okay, is it going to be Parkhurst? That probably means Larenowitz. That means Larenowitz. That might not mean Rometty or Hyndman. Well, then if Hyndman's not in, that might mean Pitti. It's a domino effect, but you've got to be responsible with what you're doing to fill Miles Robinson's spot.
Well, and it's going to be, I mean, wildly overreacted to if it doesn't work, right? I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
If he starts Hyndman instead of Pitti, and they score two goals in the first half and they win the game, then people say, DeBoer's a genius. If it doesn't work out, I mean, that, you know, results are obviously the way that he's going to be judged. Why would you do that? Like, what would be the benefit of making a move like that? Is that in case you do get down and you have more firepower off the bench?
You're talking about maybe not starting Pitti.
Or if you were not going to have one of your three designated players starting.
Oh, well, to me, Hyndman has been so solid as a creator, as someone who can go touchline to touchline, can put in a work rate, can help you a little bit defensively. I don't necessarily know if I want to take Hyndman out. Maybe you're okay in doing that. But, you know, they trusted Hyndman, started him in the Open Cup final. I think they started him against Club America, I'm almost positive. I mean, obviously, he's earned some trust. So, again, I don't think it's about Hyndman over Pitti. I don't look at it that way at all. I look at it as, and Frank even said this yesterday, you got to find the best 11 players, the best combination of 11 players that will give you the best chance to win. It doesn't hurt, though, that you could bring Pitti or Barco or Villalba, whoever, off the bench if you needed to find that desperation goal. That would be a luxury.
Remember, Pitti was a sub in the entire playoff run last year. Not Pitti.
Barco.
Barco was a sub in the playoffs last year.
Sure was.
Sure was.
And it was worked out pretty good.
Yeah, no one really got upset about that after
they won the championship.
That,
yeah.
What was that the thing called? The parade?
I believe it was a parade. Yeah, I think you broadcast from that thing.
I have fuzzy memories of that.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Have a great call tomorrow. Enjoy the dessert.
Oh,
right?
It'll be fun.
Just enjoy the dessert.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Mike. I wonder if Mike's coming.
To what?
To our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament.
Mike's a celebrity, so.
Yes, he is. And it's benefiting the Travis Mania Foundation. It is at Stars and Strikes, people. It's next Wednesday, October 23rd from 4 to 7. We're going to have a lot of celebrities, including Mike Conti. It's a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes, including $1,000 grand prize to the top bowling team. For information, go to the events page at 929thegame.com.
All right, we'll come back into an NFL no huddle. Also want to let you know we are playing Sports Jeopardy at 1240 today. So we need your Sports Jeopardy questions. Send them to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. Any trivia question you want. I've got to make an admission in Sports Jeopardy as well. I have to admit something. We'll get to an NFL no huddle coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.